Aloha, welcome to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. Each week we talk about health and fitness, but nothing replaces a visit to your own primary care provider. Today we're going to be talking about medical school alumni are going to share with us some of the commitment to education and the neighbor island access to care. I have Dr. Shane Morita and his wife, Dr. Jamie Tom. They met in medical school here, right at John Byrne School of Medicine. And they are in our community helping to make sure that we provide the best care for all of the residents here in the islands. Thank you both for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Now, the last time I saw you, I went to a beautiful gala that you put on. And Dr. Jamie, you set this out yourself because this was something that was sort of a passion project to help share your love for the ability to provide medical education and medical care to folks right here at home. Tell me what inspired you to want to create such a very elaborate, very well done, extremely well attended, beautiful event.
Well, I think what it started off was, as you know, Shane and I, or you mentioned, Shane and I had met in medical school 25 years ago.
And there were pictures to prove it.
Yes.
And let me just tell you, the 80s were wonderful. That's all I'm going to say.
And so, you know, we last year we celebrated our 25-year anniversary of graduating from the medical school and also our 25-year anniversary of being married.
Wow. And congratulations.
So, thank you. And so as we sort of reflected back on that time and, you know, where we've come over the 25 years, you know, we're just so filled with gratitude to the medical school for giving us not only an opportunity to stay here in Hawaii and get great training, but, you know, gave us fantastic opportunities to come back and raise our children here. So we have three boys. Our oldest is a sophomore in college, and then we have a junior in high school, and then a young one in fifth grade. But, you know, we were born and raised here. I grew up in Kahalu, and Shane grew up on the Big Island, and we just, you know, just have such fond memories of growing up here. And we wanted so much to be able to have them raised here as well and experience what we all feel is special about being here in Hawaii. So so with that, you know, we wanted to do something to give back to the medical school. And I think just a lot of things going on in the community. You know, we've all been just coming out of the pandemic, and it's been just a really stressful time, I think, for many of us, not just in the healthcare field, but I think in all industries. And we've seen it in our communities, just the tragedies that have happened, both, you know, just sort of disasters that have happened, but also just tragedies that you see in the news. And I think we wanted to create something that was fun and uplifting and give us an opportunity to celebrate the things about Hawaii that make it special and really kind of come together. And so that's how we came up with the name Kulikikako, which means stand together. And it's really amazing. I mean, and really overwhelming in some ways, because the community just really came together to support this. And I think it resonated with many, you know, people on different levels. So one of it that was to just get community engagement, but the other was to also raise awareness for the wonderful programs at the medical school. You know, they're really trying to address some of the shortages on the neighbor island and rural areas, and we wanted to bring awareness to that and try to raise some funds for that. So it did become somewhat of a fundraiser, but that wasn't the primary goal. And then lastly, we wanted to celebrate President Lassner's, you know, sort of tenure there, because he's retiring this year. So we wanted to bring awareness for that and how he really sort of have all the neighbor island schools, you know, sort of come together and give opportunities to students who may not otherwise have had opportunities for higher education. So we wanted to you know, celebrate that as well.
Kind of a triple aim, the triple aim of medicine, but actually more towards acknowledging the great experience you had in medical school and also fostering the next generation, being able to provide that opportunity for those who will be the doctors for us when we get older, if if not sooner. But I really appreciate the fact that you've acknowledged that we do have some issues with access to education and also getting to providers to stay in the islands. And if there's enough of an opportunity for them to come back and practice here and be with their families, we want to foster that ability for them to create a life, much like both of you have done. Now, Shane, you mentioned that, or your wife mentioned that this is part of what you wanted to do is not just tap into the medical community, but also open this to the general community so that people could come together and start to celebrate together just this post-COVID world of trying to move everyone forward and reestablish some of those relationships that maybe weren't able to have those in-person meetings or in-person collaborations during the pandemic.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so many health systems are doing that and doing so much great work, and it's just continuing to build partnerships and understand that we all need to work together. And as you had mentioned and Jamie had mentioned, it's for everyone, right? It's not only the frontline healthcare workers. You know, Jamie's in the emergency department grinding, working nights as an emergency physician, also, you know, doing administrative work at the medical school. But it's for really everybody. You know, we see the, you go to the restaurant, you know, you go to the grocery store, and, you know, you remember that those folks were there for us too during the pandemic. And, you know, it's just to remind everyone that it's real. We really all need each other. And everybody, it was just amazing how during the pandemic we all, you know, pitched in, and that there's still the repercussions of it. They still exist, you know, and it's just a great way to just continue to build partnerships with various organizations and just to raise awareness to, you know, what everybody is doing, including the medical school. And this is not only that, as Jamie had mentioned, it's not, this wasn't a fundraiser as a primary focal point. It's really, as what Shurdy mentioned, you know, it's multidimensional. And, you know, she also wanted to, as she mentioned, just uplift everyone. That's why she came up with the theme, the phrase laughter, you know, just acknowledging that laughter is the best medicine, right? For with all the amazing breakthroughs that we see, in the medical field, that laughter is still, you know, a great antidote. And, you know, ironically, April was Stress Awareness Month, and May is, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, and 1 month ago was the gala that you were, you know, you attended, and it was just nice to, that everybody, it resonated with everybody, and that we had a, you know, sold out function, and just to have people smiling there and just having great conversation and dialogue, and forgetting that, yes, we all work for different, you know, entities, but just to come together, the commonality that of what Jamie was trying to, I think, articulate, which she did very well, was that just the aloha spirit, why we love Hawaii.
I can feel it from what you're describing, and the event truly did share with everyone that aloha spirit. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Shane Morita and Dr. Jamie Tom about what their vision is for the medical school next generation as they celebrated last year, 25 years since you were in school. I think it was probably about the same. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Honolulu Waldorf School and Noheia Gallery.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and today I have JABSM alum Dr. Shane Morita and Dr. Jamie Tom, and we're talking today about ways in which we can really bring our community together, but also help to foster the continuation of medical education right here in the islands so that we can help resolve not just the fact that there's a shortage of healthcare workers, but make wanting to be here in the islands an incredible, exciting adventure in your career, and to provide the care for our communities, both rural and neighbor islands, that everyone wants to be able to provide. Now, both of you did your medical school years here, and then did you do training here or elsewhere on the mainland?
So we trained on the mainland. Shane and I, couples matched. So we went to, Harbor UCLA Medical Center, where he did general surgery and I did emergency medicine. And then we moved to the East Coast to do, he did fellowships in surgical oncology and endocrine surgery. So we moved, I think, a total of 14 times since we got married.
And 14 then, times in 25 years. Okay, that deserves a celebration as well. The fact that you were able to uplift and move and do all that many times. So what made you come back to the islands? What was your defining event that made you say, I really want to go back home? Shane?
You know, just growing up, seeing my parents, I went to Waikia High School, and just seeing my dad run a business with my mom. My father was an electrician, and my mother was his office manager. And just they continued to just give back and just wanting to stay in Hawaii and just continue that. I remember, you know, at my dad's funeral, people would come up and say, oh, your dad would, you know, fix this for me or wire my house, and he never asked for anything. And so, and then my mom would fill out, just paperwork for people who were, because she was bilingual, she was Korean and could speak both Korean and, she could translate and fill up people's paperwork for whether it's Social Security or just other medical, issues that they were facing, she would translate. So just their heart to give and, her, my parents' dedication to the church and just wanting to make a difference. And that's all we ask our three boys is just try to make a difference. And of course, there are way more opportunities on the mainland, I think, for certain fields. But it's just wanting to just come back. And it's the culture is not only, people always will say, oh, it's the food, or do you miss this or just miss that? It's just the culture is just different, right? It's not about the weather. It's not about the beach, about the food. It's just about just being around with people who you want to be around and you just want to serve.
Do you think your sons might come back to the islands?
I think so. I think my older one is starting to understand that too, because he goes to college on the East Coast, just in outside of D.C. And so, and it's the same. I think what Shane, just to kind of expand on what Shane is saying, because whenever we're out there, people get excited when they hear we're from Hawaii and, oh, you must love the beaches. You like to hike and these things. And we live here. We hardly ever do those things, right? And it's something, I think it's really hard to almost put into words what it is that makes this place special. But I think for those of us that call this place our home, we know what that is. It's like, helping your neighbor. And it's sometimes it's not even a big thing, right? It's like helping them put their trash can back in on trash day, right? It's just these little small things. And I think people, when you look up the definition of Aloha Spirit, it says, being kind to one another, kind of helping people out. But it's more than that, I feel like. It's, really sort of stepping up and being there to help others without expecting anything in return. And these little things, it's always remarkable. We have, Shane had someone that he knew on the neighbor island, and Shane and the boys were going to go there to go fishing. And he's like, oh, no, you can come and stay at my daughter's house. And he, kicked the daughter out of her house so that the boys and Shane could stay at her house. And it wasn't anything super fancy, but it's just that spirit of wanting to give people and help them however they can. Whether it's big or small, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be fancy, but it's just that spirit of giving. And I think my son, my older one, is beginning to understand that too, and so I think that's always been sort of our hope, was that we would be able to get enough training and be able to get jobs here so that we could come home. This has always been home for us, and we've been lucky enough to do that now. And I think it's been 17 years maybe now, that we've been back on a full-time basis. So we're
we lived away apart. Yeah, so for you there, and I'm on my 16th, but we lived a away for a little bit when I was living in Baltimore.
So now that you're here and you've established your careers here, what are some of the ways that maybe the medical school is trying to do this, or that the provider community can do this to really try and make coming back home the most attractive option for people if they do happen to need to leave to go get additional training? How do we bring people back here to home to help provide care for our neighbors, for our kupuna, for ourselves, for all of us?
Well, I think, you know, a lot has already been done in such a short time frame. You know, we have a governor who's a physician. We have a lot of support from the healthcare systems, the medical school's leadership, and just various partners throughout. And it's so numerous to count that it's a great situation to be in. But I think just everybody pitching in, understanding how wonderful it is to live here and to make it better. So it really is. You hear the saying, it takes a village, but it really does. And I think just everybody partnering and doing what they can. And, you know, for me, there's a lot that I need to learn, but I just love to surround myself with people that are 100 times smarter than me, because that's how you get better. And there's just a lot of people who really have expertise in different fields that, you know, you don't have that familiarity with. So, you know, we just appreciate what everybody is doing, and we're playing a very small role in just wanting to, for anyone out there who is always having some hesitancy to come back, that there really are quite a bit of opportunities here, and it's a great place to live and raise your children.
Now, Jamie, you're working in the medical school as well as providing services as an emergency room physician. What are some of the things that you've seen in the last couple of years? You know, I think COVID changed education in a lot of different ways. And one of the things we did see is that, you know, from the provider side, telemedicine took off. But I often wonder if from the student side, do you feel as though there's a little catch up, or there's more need for in-person interaction because we had times when they weren't able to do as much in an in-person basis?
I think so. And it's interesting because the cohort, the COVID cohort, right, who the medical students who entered during the pandemic just graduated this past weekend, you know, and they really had an amazing, I mean, it's just amazing the fortitude that they had to go through that, you know, to be able to go through, especially the first couple of years of medical school, you know, virtually, it is hard. I mean, it was hard for us when we were in person. And so for them to do that, you know, but I think that it also gave us opportunities to come up with creative ways to continue the medical education. So now we know that, you know, when the students, so many of them do a lot of their rotations on the neighbor islands, you know, and they're looking for ways to supplement those education opportunities. Because now, for now, you know, the anatomy lab is here on campus in Kaka'ako. But now they're looking at ways that they can do some of that virtually too, so that students can, you know, take advantage of the opportunities to stay on the neighbor island to do their training, but not have to fly back for, you know, in-person labs and other things. So I think it's created different opportunities and you know, gets us thinking outside the box a little bit. So I think, you know, those are all good things. I think for us too, I mean, you know, being able to have a bigger footprint on the neighbor island, you know, to encourage students who maybe didn't have a mentor in the medical field or even think about opportunities to explore, you know, the healthcare, you know, it's given them those opportunities too. So at the medical school, you know, last year we started a Huaka'i initiative, which is a way to encourage students, our young learners who are like middle school and high school, to just consider careers in healthcare and science. And it's giving them those exposures, you know, because we know that a lot of times they don't have the same, you know, information that other students who are, you know, come up in different educational systems have. So,
I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. You're listening to The Body Show. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about ways in which we can help make Hawaii the most attractive place for our medical students to stay. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for The Body Show comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Ulupono Initiative.
Welcome back to The Body Show. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak, and I'm joined today by JABSM alums Dr. Shane Morita and Dr. Jamie Tom, and we're talking today about medical school education and ways in which we can learn from recent experiences and think outside the box. You know, before the pandemic, the rates of providers doing telehealth were very small. The rates of students doing most of their learning online, not very high, but now that has transformed completely. And in fact, we're seeing a significant resurgence in the idea of people learning new, novel, creative ways to get an education and to apply those to fields which previously may not have been so out-of-the-box thinking. So right before the break, we were talking with Dr. Jamie Tom about what are some of the interesting things that the students have learned and have had to adapt and deal with their current career in medical school. And I know that that has also affected providers. And there are ways in which, you know, now with telemedicine, particularly, you know, when Medicare started covering for these types of visits, I'm sure, Shane, you see patients that you can do video visits with that previously would have had to potentially fly to come here. And yet now you can do some services and some counseling and some visits, even without having them have to get on a plane.
That's correct. You know, obviously we want to do as much as we can to have an in-person encounter, but there are some, you know, challenges and barriers with that from a patient perspective as well. But, you know, just the other, on Monday, I had over 20 patients and they're all virtual. And we're doing that in order, because I have such a large amount of Neighbor Island patients, to minimize costs, and you know, we all need to be, you know, fiscally responsible, but you're still able to gather the information that's needed, and I think there's always opportunity to, you can still manage a patient if you ask the right questions, and you know, with the support and infrastructure that the health systems has built throughout the state, I think it's definitely feasible.
Now, you mentioned that you have 3 sons, and the oldest is sophomore in college, and the youngest is in fifth grade. I think the fifth grader is going to be the one to tell us how computers and things are going to transform the world, I have to tell you. Or even your sophomore in college son, because, boy, I did not grow up using computers in medical education very much. I mean, this was pre-electronic medical record days. So I suspect we're all in the same cohort age-wise. And because of that, I think we grew up with a certain mindset of how medicine needed to be provided. And yet now we're starting to see some of these novel care delivery systems that are really just changing how we practice every day. Now, maybe not so much in the emergency room setting. I'm curious, from your perspective, given the fact that most people come to you still because it's an emergency, have you seen any of the change in what we're looking at for how patients present to you?
No, but I think that we have been able to offer some specialty care, such as like acute stroke codes and things, you know, where we may not have somebody in-house from like a neurologist if they came in with an acute stroke. But with sort of telemed type of technology, we're able to have one-on-one visits there. And we're also seeing that in the discipline of behavioral health, you know, because we know that a lot of people now have had a lot of struggles coming out of the pandemic. And so being able to provide those types of services for our patients have become a little bit better, more opportunities for us to provide some of those services where we would otherwise have had to transfer, you know, to a different facility. So that has helped us in that way.
So as we think about the transformations that have happened in the care of patients, where do you think we're going to head with the education of our next generation of medical students? How might what we've learned in the last couple of years change things even further? Any ideas? What would you like to see in medical education going forward? Dr. Morita?
Yeah, I know a few. One is just innovation, right? Continued implementation, really, of artificial intelligence, and you know this better than really most of us. And the other thing is just having much more, I would say, fund of knowledge from the business side of things, because every sector, business touches every sector, and really this pandemic has shown us too the economic challenges that our state is facing. So the ability to really sometimes pivot and look for different opportunities, right? So I think having that knowledge in the business sector is extremely germane to really, I think, to any healthcare provider.
Maybe more on the educational aspect for even in medical school to learn a little bit about the business of medicine and how things take place and how to adopt new technologies and any other ideas on how medical education may transform. Dr. Tom?
I think Shane really touched on, I think a lot of with the AI, I think that's going to really change the way that we deliver care and the way that even students learn. And it's exciting. I think for some of us who are not as tech savvy, sometimes it can be a little daunting, but the possibilities are endless, I think, and making us being able to, and I think that leads to a lot of some of the burnout that some of the healthcare providers, struggle with, because I think that, all of us or most of us who go into medicine, we enjoy the interactions with the patients. We don't enjoy so much the paperwork and all of the other things that kind of go along with the job of it. And so being able to provide care more efficiently, I think, is going to be helpful, especially as we have more patients that come through the ER, that's going to be helpful for us too.
Yeah, I don't think any provider ever went to medical school and said, I really want to do more charting.
Right.
I don't think so. But if we can figure out a way to take the charting burden away, but add more of the direct patient care, boy, I think that would be a win-win.
Oh, absolutely.
Any advice for the next generation of medical students?
I would say just, follow your passion and do it for really a chance to impact someone's health. I think I tell people I have the best job in the world. I mean, and we get to work with amazing people, the staff that we get to interface with and the patients. I mean, the gratitude and the teamwork that everybody really has a role and nobody does it by themselves, as much as, a physician, as a surgeon or what Jamie does in the emergency department, you really need a team. And we are just grateful that we have just amazing staff and patients and administrators that we can all work together. And, like I said, the governor being a physician who understands the challenges and just, continuing to get more resources will help our state.
Well, we need to encourage your sons to become physicians and entice them back to the islands. I think that would only help all of us here in Hawaii. I want to thank both of you for sharing your expertise with us today on The Body Show. That's Dr. Shane Morita and Dr. Jamie Tom, both JABSM alum, met in medical school 25 years later, are helping to care for all of our folks here in the islands. If you'd like to hear this show again, you can click on the HPR app and find us. Our engineer is David Chong. I'm Dr. Kathleen Kozak. And we'll be right here next week, as every Monday, 6:30 on The Body Show. We'll see you then.